Gracious God, take our minds and think through them. Take our hands and work through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire. Amen. It's fall, and I have to admit that the return of honest-to-goodness rain this weekend has drizzled a bit of new life and energy into my spirit, other than the fact that it's mostly kept me cooped up inside the house with two little boys. Along with the rain, this fall brings our annual stewardship season, a time for us to reflect on what our commitments of time, talent, and treasure will be to this community in the coming year. And this year, our theme is sharing God's bounty. And so it's also time for parishioners to share their thoughts on what sharing and giving means to them. And today, our senior warden, Grace Telks, will use the lens of outreach to share some of her story and why it is that she gives to this community.
Good morning. In our gospel today, Jesus admonishes those who are obedient. The Pharisee is just doing his duty, playing by the rules, following the strict religious guidelines of his time. He's law-abiding, conducts fair business dealings, cares for his family, follows social customs, and even tithes. Who doesn't want to be or expect to be rewarded for doing the right thing? I make a full stop at stop signs. I pay my taxes. I visit my grandmother. I take public transportation. I make a reasonable effort to treat others fairly. I donate money to charity and give to All Souls. I could be one of those people who believe gay and lesbian people should have no place in our church, or that Muslim is synonymous with terrorist, or that poor people are undeserving and somehow warrant their station in life. But I don't think those things. I think I'm basically on the right track. Is it so wrong to want to give myself a pat on the back? Aren't I a good Christian? Fortunately or unfortunately for me, society sometimes colludes with my tendency to feel self-righteous. I work in San Francisco as a social worker who cares for mentally ill homeless adults, many of whom are prostitutes and drug addicts, and I sometimes get the Mother Teresa treatment. Wow, I could never do that. It must take a special person. Even you must be a saint. I could get used to hearing this. I'm living out the gospel and I even get paid for it. Aren't I a good Christian? Like the Pharisee in the parable, it's easy to justify doing one's duty and to expect recognition for doing so. It's only human to feel pulled in that direction. Luckily for us, Jesus suggests another model in the unlikely form of a tax collector. Not only does this man not praise his own deeds, but he knows he has acted ungratefully, unfairly, and unjustly, and he begs for God's mercy. He knows that it is God alone who can empower him to live differently. While I don't pretend to always win my interior battles with self-righteousness or fully humble myself before God, I do give thanks to God and much credit to the Episcopal Church for being a guide in my journey. My first year out of college, I spent a year in the Episcopal Service Corps in Los Angeles, akin to a domestic Peace Corps. I had a vague sense that God had a purpose for me, though I didn't know exactly what this might entail. I lived with four other young adults in the rectory of Holy Faith Episcopal Church in Inglewood, where we worshiped and reflected together and supported one another through a year of social service work in local marginalized communities. While I certainly identified volunteer work and charity as aspects of good Christian duty, during that year I also felt myself responding to God's generosity to me. Through an accident of birth, I was raised by a loving family with all the comforts of the world and with the many advantages of safety, health, and privilege. The Christian and Episcopal context of my work that year helped me reflect on how my actions and eventual vocation could be an act of thanksgiving. Even at 40 hours a week and with my checklist of good deeds, I know that I can never do enough to repay God for the grace and mercy that God has shown to me. The first time I visited All Souls was in February 2003, and I heard a sermon from S.D. Cantor. I don't remember the details of the scripture that Sunday, but I remember a point she made, that Jesus as a Middle Eastern man would have been a victim of racial profiling and subject to discrimination in the United States today. I was encouraged by the message I heard from the All Souls pulpit, that it is our responsibility to oppose structures that undermine peace and justice, and that acts of mercy and compassion are central to our Christian life. I immediately decided to make All Souls my parish home. So keep the good sermons coming. The visitors are listening. I believe the many acts of outreach in which we engage at All Souls are consistent with the sense of purpose. Through our open door dinner, Advent in-gatherings, youth and young adult mission trips, our parish's weekly donations to the food bank, visits to the Kaya Kamina Nursing Home, the Nets for Life campaign, and many, many more. We are given the opportunity again and again and again to accept God's mercy, to accept how we are called to be children of God, accept that we are loved despite our flaws and our brokenness, and to respond accordingly. Giving of my time and financially to All Souls is another way that I say thank you to God for loving me unconditionally despite my humanness, for giving me a sense of purpose and hope, and for accepting me into this loving and supportive community where all souls are welcome. I invite you all to take time in the coming weeks to reflect on your own story and how you are called to share God's bounty.
Now, today's gospel is not actually about sharing or giving. It's about prayer. And this is the second week in a row, in fact, that we've heard a parable about prayer from Jesus. As was his habit, Jesus held up in these stories those who were on the margins of society as those worthy for praise. Last week, the nagging widow, and this week, the reviled tax collector. Before we go any further, I want to start with a little history lesson in case you've forgotten. You know how shepherds and tax collectors always seem to be heralded in the Gospels? Well, yeah, those images mean much different things to us than they did in the time of Jesus. To the people that Jesus would have told this story to, tax collectors were considered the enemy. They were an instrument of economic oppression for the Roman Empire. A collaborator, if you will. Tax collectors were not merely misunderstood, they were on the wrong side, religiously, politically, and economically. And so it was that the tax collector in our story knew all too well his wrongs, and those things that had separated him from God and from community. And unlike the Pharisee, whose self-righteous prayer really only offered room for God to agree with him, the tax collector poured out his heart to God in prayer of supplication, knowing that he was desperately in need of God's mercy and love. He knew that it is only when we come to God with open hearts that we actually make room for God to do God's work in our lives. So in this story, we want to actually be the tax collector, don't we? Because the other option is to be the Pharisee. And the Pharisees always get the bad raps in the Gospels, and indeed in this parable as well. And yet, historically, it was the Pharisees who preserved the faith in God, even under the crushing force of Roman military domination. And they preserved it by maintaining clarity about the way the goodness of God ought to shape a faithful life. In other words, the Pharisees were the people that came to church and did the work of the church and supported the church. In other words, they were us, or rather, we are them. Now, I know the world isn't black and white, and that we are likely a mix of both of these characters, sometimes leading towards self-righteousness and others towards humility. But for the sake of argument, go with me on this. Today, we're the Pharisees. And that's not comfortable, because in this story, the Pharisee did not go home justified. Although I think Eugene Peterson's The Message, a scholarly paraphrase of the Bible that uses contemporary language and images, puts it better when it ends this passage in Luke thusly. If you walk around with your nose in the air, you're going to end up flat on your face. But if you're content to simply be yourself, you will become more than yourself. As Grace said, when you do the right thing, the good thing, it can sometimes lead to self-righteousness. And you can fall into the trap of religion becoming the end instead of the means. And that surely will end up with us flat on our faces. And I think that's why Jesus condemned the Pharisee. So how can we avoid that? The falling on your face part, not the doing the good stuff part. We can try and lean toward the tax collector and focus not on what we do, but instead on our relationship with God through prayer and living into humility, the understanding that God is God and I am not. For if we can only be ourselves and be ourselves honestly, then we will be more. When we acknowledge that we are not God and that we in fact need God, and we believe that God is always with us, then that fundamentally changes our lives and how it is that we live them. So what if this parable is not inherently only about prayer, but could be extended to other areas of our lives? How would it change what we do and why we do it? How does each of our own life stories and our life of prayer inform the choices that we make? What if we looked at it and saw in this story models of how it is we are called to give? The Pharisee's story led him to be someone who most likely gave out of duty and for recognition, with an understanding that what is important is that you give, not the intention behind it. It's not a place of giving out of joy or an understanding of giving from bounty, but rather sharing because you can and because you should. The tax collector story might have led him to share with others instead out of a sense of love and mercy, an understanding that all we have and all that we are comes from God. And so it is not ours to bestow, but God's to pass through us that we might be Christ's body in this world. And we have Grace's story today too, a story about her experience in the various areas of outreach throughout her life, and how those shaped not only her vocation, but her decision to make this her parish home, and how it continues to affect how and why she gives specifically here at All Souls. So what is your story, and where will it lead you? It's fall again. It's that time of year when the rain returns and we look forward to hearty fall food that warms the body and the soul. It's that time of year when we are invited once again to open our hearts to God and pray about how it is that we are called to share God's bounty. And so my prayer is that we will all find some time in the coming weeks to breathe in some damp air, enjoy some butternut squash, and let our prayer lead us into giving. Amen.